This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight...
Christians are observing Good Friday, marking the crucifixion of Jesus. Events in Jerusalem, where the faithful carried out an ancient Holy Land tradition.
That's VOA's Robert Berger reporting from Jerusalem. Details coming up also. The eastern Libyan town of Ajabiya has been hit by a suicide attack for the second time in 3 weeks. Sierra Leoneans go to the polls tomorrow to elect a new president. And Botswana's outgoing president will step down when his term ends Saturday, more than a year before elections. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, officials say the eastern Libyan town of Ajabiya has been hit by a suicide attack for the second time in 3 weeks. The car bomb targeted a checkpoint at the eastern entrance of the city yesterday evening. At least 8 military officers and civilians were killed and several others wounded. The area is controlled by government forces loyal to Libyan strongman Khalifa Haftar, who opposes the country's UN-backed unity government. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack. Islamic State claimed it carried out a suicide attack that injured 3 people south of Ajabiya on March 9th. On April the 2nd, Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi is expected to emerge as the winner of the 2018 presidential elections. State media reports that so far he has won 96.9% of the vote with a turnout of about 43%. He faced no real challenge after credible candidates were forced out of the race. During his first term, Al-Sisi critics said he crippled the opposition and closed off political space. Said Sadek is a professor of political sociology at the American University in Cairo. He spoke to VOA's Mohamed El-Shenawi about what might take place in Egypt during Al-Sisi's second term.
If we look at the result of the election, there are 2 things that we should keep in mind. Why there was such a high number of deliberately invalidated votes, over 1 million? Secondly, those who voted for his opponent, who had no chance whatsoever that he would win anything. So, and we knew it. I mean, you are voting for someone you know very well is not going to make it. If you combine those 2 factors, the invalid vote and vote for his opponent, this is a symbolic message to the president that some people in the population are not happy with his economic policy or some aspect of his policy. I think this is coming from people who supported Sisi from the beginning and feel disappointed with some of his policies. And this is the way we are expressing the position.
On April 2nd, President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi is expected to emerge as the winner of the 2018 presidential elections in Egypt. Critics said he crippled opposition and closed off the political space. What do you expect to take place in Egypt during Sisi's second term?
I think Sisi has many items on his agenda for the second term. The first item is the issue that he had failed to resolve terrorism. He had been able only to contain terrorism in North Sinai, but not able to finish the job. And up till today, this is a big issue because it had a big impact on tourism. The tourism sector has 4 million people working. Tourism sector has been affected, and that affected the entire economy. Second issue, the issue of Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, because this also affects Egyptian agriculture, Egyptian development, this has to be addressed. I don't think democracy is on his mind in the second term. I think he had survived and he had taken a green light from regional power, international power, that the priority is stabilizing Egypt. They are also turning a blind eye to the issue of democratization and human rights.
But U.S. Congress is linking U.S. aid to Egypt to progress on human rights and political reform. Would President Sisi open the political space and free the Egyptian media in his second term?
I don't think this is also going to affect him anyway. He has a lot of money from the Gulf States. He feels that he has the White House. President Trump called him a fantastic guy. $300 million will not be the tipping point that will make Sisi change his mind. He has a mission, and the mission is to restore the strong state, the authoritarian state. He doesn't want to see any revolution again. He made this statement that what happened 7 years ago will not happen again. In fact, the building of the new capital is a defensive capital in which we'll have only the rich. Institutions are well protected. So the revolution that we have seen, crowd besieging the Ministry of Defense and Interior and the Presidential Palace, would never happen again in the new security setting. Mind you, many people, not only in Egypt, but in the Middle East, began to see the issue of Western democratization model as fake, because they have seen what happened to Iraq under the name of getting rid of a dictator and putting democracy in Iraq, Libya, the destruction of the Syrian state. All these things give Western democracy a very negative image. And this is a problem. And this is also the discourse that his media are using to continue and back this regime.
That was Said Sadek, a professor of political sociology at the American University in Cairo. He spoke to VOA's Mohamed El-Shenawi about what might take place in Egypt during al-Sisi's second term. Botswana's outgoing president will step down when his term ends Saturday, more than a year before elections. It is an interesting move in a region where other leaders go to great lengths to stay in power, some longer than current laws allow. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
Botswana's president has drawn attention recently for urging longtime African leaders to loosen their grip on power. Now it is his turn. President Ian Khama steps down Saturday to make way for his vice president, exactly a decade to the day after he became president of the diamond-rich Southern African nation. Botswana changed its constitution in 1997 to limit presidents to 10 years in power, regardless of election timelines. The president who introduced that law, Ketumela Masire, stepped down in 1998, a year before the next vote. Since then, polls have been held every 5 years. Botswana presidential spokesman Jeff Ramsey says Khama leaves behind a strong and peaceful country.
In the case of Khama, some of the highlight first would be his promotion of poverty eradication. We have a poverty eradication program. We've made progress in reducing poverty levels.
But critics of the president say the retired army general has shown an authoritarian streak in signing some orders without going through parliamentary processes, that he's stifled dissent and has overseen the government's decision to stop advertising in private media outlets critical of the government. Analyst Ndulamo Anthony Marima.
There were some authoritarian tendencies, but obviously not to the extent of our fellow African countries that we know that there is really almost lack of regard at all for democracy.
Khama is the oldest son of Botswana's first post-independence leader, Seretse Khama. The younger Khama's critics have accused him of trying to establish a family dynasty. In 2014, Khama drew fire from his own party when he attempted to have his younger brother, Tshisekedi, named as vice president. Analyst Nicole Beardsworth says the end of Khama's presidency means Vice President Mokgweetsi Masisi now has about 18 months to solidify his position and levy the advantages of incumbency to hold on to his job.
Basically, what will happen is that vice president becomes the president now, but their candidacy for the next election has to be confirmed in the Legislative Congress before the next election. If Ian Khama spends the next 2 years trying to position his brother and to sort of gather support and momentum for his candidacy, then, it's entirely possible that it might be Ian Khama's brother instead.
That theory, Marima notes, is popular in Cameroon's political circles. But he adds the nation's opposition has failed to mount a strong challenge to Khama's ruling Botswana Democratic Party.
So I think what needs to be done is the opposition taking itself seriously by rallying around the particular platform so that it poses a real challenge to the DPP, which currently is not the case.
Khama recently completed a tour of the nation where citizens showered him with gifts that included 143 cows and hundreds of chickens. In one of his farewell speeches, the former pilot, who was never married, said he never really wanted to be president. but referring to his new menagerie, he said he might have to settle down and become a farmer. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Sierra Leoneans go to the polls Saturday to elect a new president. They will choose between Julius Maada Bio of the Sierra Leone People's Party and Samora Camara of the ruling All People's Congress. Bio, a former military leader, ruled the country in 1996. Neither candidate won 55% of the votes in the first round of balloting, which included several other competitors. It could be close Saturday. Both men were nearly tied in the first round. Only a simple majority is required Saturday. Ibrahim Sori Camara is the commissioner for the Domestic Tax Department of Sierra Leone's National Revenue Authority. He tells Freetown reporter Kelvin Lewis that the atmosphere has been tense and has led to a slowdown in business in the lead-up to the final vote.
Well, you know, business people are always... They don't want to take risk as much as they can. They will try to minimize the incidence of risk. So since the elections are coming up or it's already in progress, we've seen a lot of decline in the level of activities of businesses. Even if you look at the importation figures have dropped, we are seeing imports coming in that are related to the elections, and people that are bringing in merchandise, goods, and some other stuff have reduced their importation activities on the basis of the uncertainty that surrounds the whole process. So we are seeing also from the GST or VAT point of view, we are seeing some reduction again in terms of consumption pattern of people and also of businesses. Because if they import less quantity, obviously the market will have less available for sale, and definitely the consumption tax will also be reduced. So we are seeing all those kind of reduction in the turnover and the consumption of businesses, individuals, and even the government, so to speak. So that's the problem we're having currently.
So how has this affected tax revenue?
Yes, it has affected tax revenue in different ways. From imports point of view, we have taxes like import duties, we have import GST, we have a lot more other related taxes, excise duty and the rest of it. So reduction in importation means that there will be a drop in the amount of taxes that will be collected from these importations. And as I mentioned earlier again, from the consumption end, definitely consumers are also reducing their consumption and they prefer to save their money for the uncertainty that surrounds the whole process. So we've been seeing a lot of decline, even though we are working towards the end of the fiscal year, because the accounting period for government is normally the 31st December, but businesses have up to 30th of April to file their returns. We've seen some few returns coming in, but a bulk of them have not yet come in, and we are talking about end of March now. So we are even expecting businesses to ask for extension for filing on the basis that they've not been able to tidy up their books and getting all what is required for them to meet their statutory obligations.
Now, you've been around for at least two elections now. Is this the normal behavior of business people, or is this the normal behavior of the economy during elections time?
Yeah, normally during elections, people are very conservative with whatever they're doing. But the length at which this one has dragged to has created some difference in terms of the slowness of activities. We saw in 2012, even though there were a reduction in transactions or activities of businesses, but the outcome of that election was somehow predictable to some extent. And the level of activities were not significantly affected, the 2012 elections which we held. And for the 2018 that is currently ongoing, because of the uncertainties around and the kind of political tensions that have been developing during the course of the campaigning, people have decided to be more courteous or they caution their activities, and they are actually looking up to see what will be the outcome. And we are aware of the fact that some people have even halted their importation. They've even informed their suppliers abroad that they put a hold on the delivery of their consignments, subject to the outcome of the elections. So this year is a bit slow compared to 2012.
That's Ibrahim Sori Kamara of Sierra Leone's National Revenue Authority. He was speaking with reporter Kelvin Lewis. Twenty past the hour, you're listening to African News Tonight on the Voice of America. Christians are observing Good Friday, marking the crucifixion of Jesus. VOA's Robert Berger reports on events in Jerusalem, where the faithful carried out an ancient Holy Land tradition.
Pilgrims from around the world packed into the narrow cobblestone alleyways of the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem's Old City to take part in the traditional Good Friday procession. Singing hymns and reading passages from the Bible, they retraced the footsteps of Jesus to the 14 stations of the cross. Gary Osterberg is from Canada.
Oh, it's an honor to be in this land like this. It's been great. It helps with my belief, it helps with my faith, it helps with everything.
In the Holy Land, religion and politics are never far apart. The Easter holidays come 6 weeks before the United States plans to move its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
I think that the Americans moving the embassy to Jerusalem is the right thing to do. I think it's the proper thing to do. And I wish that Canada would follow suit and do the same thing also, move the Canadian embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Palestinians are furious over the embassy move and U.S. President Donald Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Imad, a shopkeeper in the Arab Bazaar, said Jerusalem is the future capital of a Palestinian state.
I do not expect anything from Donald Trump, so I expect bad things. This is, you know, part of what they are doing against Palestinians. Another step, another thing which will hurt Palestinians.
Jewish pilgrims also flock to Jerusalem to celebrate the start of the week-long biblical holiday of Passover. Rabbis here say the U.S. Embassy move reinforces the Passover theme of Jerusalem rebuilt. Robert Berger for VOA News, Jerusalem.
Officials say suspected cattle rustlers staged a pair of attacks on a herding village in northern Nigeria, possibly in retaliation for an attack by vigilantes. Two local officials say three people were killed, while other reports put the death toll in the dozens. Senator Kabiru Marafa, who represents part of the area, says 66 people died and the rustlers raped young married women. Marafa claims the government is trying to downplay the upsurge in violence by armed gangs in the countryside as it tries to foster peace. The This Day newspaper quoted a survivor as saying a dozen people were killed when attacked while meeting Wednesday to discuss how to deal with bandits. The unidentified survivor said the gunmen returned the next day and killed dozens of others who were attending funerals for the first casualties. In Zimbabwe, prominent rights activist Pastor Evan Mawariri has launched a coalition of independent local council candidates ahead of the July elections. Mawariri was jailed for leading protests against ex-president Robert Mugabe. He is now eyeing the mayor's seat in the capital. Two parties have dominated politics for years. Mawariri's supporters say Zimbabwe is overdue for a shake-up. Sebastian Mumfu reports from Harare.
From pulpit to politics, Pastor Evan Mawarire is wading into the electoral fray in Zimbabwe. He and other independent candidates have joined forces to run for local government posts in the coming elections. They call their coalition the People's Own Voice. Mawarire has his eye on the mayor's seat in Harare should he win local government elections. He spoke to VOA.
Up to today, we still deliver very dirty and very dangerous water to the residents of Harare. We have got potholes. Our road network is completely dilapidated and needs to be revived again. We have issues in the city of Harare to do with refuse collection. We still don't collect our refuse for people, and that encourages all sorts of diseases. And I think we those are the kind of things that my generation feels urgently.
Mawarire rose to prominence in 2016 as the activist behind the This Flag movement that organized protests against rights abuses by the government and former President Robert Mugabe's handling of the ailing economy. He was jailed several times. He was later acquitted on some charges of subversion, while others are still pending in court. The polls expected this July and August will be the country's first without Mugabe, who resigned under military pressure last year. Analysts say Mawarire's entry into politics could spell trouble for the main opposition party, the Movement for Democratic Change. The MDC has struggled with internal divisions following the recent death of founder Morgan Tsvangirai. Word is that the MDC has already reached out Mawarire for talks, though VOA could not confirm that information. Sekai Holland, a former senior member of the MDC, welcomed Mawarire to politics. She did not indicate where her allegiances now lie.
The effort that Pastor Mawarire is launching with his colleagues is very significant. It's middle class African kids whose absence from politics has caused many problems. Their coming in strengthens the processes of development, and it's important that they themselves understand that they are part of the fabric and not an independent formation, so they should dialogue with everybody.
Last year, Kenya saw a surge in the number of independent candidates in its nationwide elections. Among them was the activist Boniface Mwangi, who ran for parliament. He was in Harare for the launch of Mawarire's movement.
It's very key because independent candidates are not part of any political party. They're not politically aligned, so they don't have any baggage. But they also have a voice, and they take a stand because they want to reclaim back their country. So it's very commendable that people have come together. So, and the other thing is actually when they are independent, that means they don't support any side, especially presidential elections. So which means they're able to get votes from both Chamisa and Crocodile voters.
He is referring to the two expected front-runners in the coming presidential elections. Current President Emmerson Mnangagwa, or the Crocodile as he is known, will carry the mantle of the ruling ZANU-PF party. The MDC is expected to put forward its acting leader, Nelson Chamisa. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Nick Ivanov, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.
voaafrica.com.
On voaafrica.com,
The news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
VOAAfrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.